You're listening to Central Time on the Ideas Network. I'm Rob Ferret. Coming up, we'll talk to a professor who's been leading a research team at the UW that studies how plants grow in space. First, it's time for our weekly review of state news. Governor Walker has called for a special session of the state legislature to take up his proposed welfare changes. A new project explores stories of addiction in Wisconsin, and a former Milwaukeean hits a hot streak on Jeopardy. Robert Menser is a statewide living and storytelling editor for the USA Today Network Wisconsin, based in Wausau. Rob, welcome back.
Hi, thanks.
Well, the big story late this week, Governor Walker yesterday calling for a special session of the legislature. He wants changes in welfare programs in Wisconsin. Can you talk about some of the changes that he's looking at?
Sure. Well, there are a number of proposals that he has laid out, including changes to food stamp requirements and drug screening for people who receive subsidized housing. We can talk about some of these, but probably the most notable or most high profile proposal is to have a system to require able-bodied working age Medicaid beneficiaries to get different skills training and education and do job search activities and other requirements in order to have people be able to qualify for Medicaid.
Here's a listen to Governor Walker explaining the goal of these proposals. This was in a video released yesterday.
You see, for those who are able, we want to enable them to get a job and ultimately a career to support themselves and their families. You see, I believe that public assistance should be more like a trampoline and not a hammock. These reforms will help move Wisconsin forward.
So Governor Walker also pointing out we've got low unemployment in the state. It's a good time to move people into the workforce. People who are currently receiving public assistance. Has that been from the governor and from Republicans in the legislature the main selling point here?
This has been this basic suite of policies has been something that that Walker has believed in and pushed for many years, including when the state's economy was not in the shape that it's in now. So I don't know about that, but it is true that that there are more people working today and that it is relatively easier to find a job. You know, you can sort of hear it in that clip, the sort of essence of the conflict here, right? There, Walker and other advocates for this, they present it as a way of helping people to get the skills they need or to kick addictions or make other life changes in order to better themselves, have better lives. But also then in the same breath, he says public assistance should be a trampoline, not a hammock, which sort of it furthers this idea of there's sort of like deserving versus undeserving poor people. And the critical view is that these policies will have the effect of kicking people off public assistance who might need it.
Yeah, and talk more about the Democratic response to this call for a special session and the bills included in it.
Well, so it's that exactly, right? It's that this creates obstacles for people who are poor and who depend upon programs. I mean, I do think Medicaid, which in Wisconsin we call it Badger Care, but it's Medicaid, is a big part of this discussion. So Medicaid has never been understood as like a quote unquote welfare program that you would need to demonstrate to worthiness for. There are about 1.2 million people on Medicaid in Wisconsin, and the majority of them, the households receiving Medicaid, do have someone who works. It's true in Wisconsin. It's true everywhere. They might be working at a job that doesn't pay very much, or it could be like a family where one spouse works and another one is caring for children or disabled family members or elderly. You know, people's lives are complicated. But so one estimate is that these type of requirements would only apply to a little bit more than 10% of everyone who receives Medicaid in Wisconsin, about 148,000 people. But it sort of creates this perception that you have to prove that you're worthy in order to like get sort of basic health access, which is, you know, Democrats are very critical of that idea.
For a lot of these changes, they include things like Medicaid and food assistance, which is ultimately coming in many cases from the federal government. So the state would need waivers from the federal government to do that. But As we've heard from the Trump administration a week ago, they're opening the door to more of these kind of waivers, it sounds like.
Right. Yes. Exactly. So the Trump administration is open to waivers on Medicaid. Wisconsin is one of nine states that has sort of jumped at the chance for that. Important to say, there will be legal challenges about this. Kentucky is going down a similar path. They're already are gearing up for legal challenges that would tie that up. Whether it actually is legal for a state to put those sorts of requirements on Medicaid recipients will have to be determined in court.
And we'll keep covering this special session. The morning show on Monday, we'll be talking about this after 7. Again, that's coming up Monday morning on the Ideas Network. Right now, we're talking to Rob Mentzer from USA Today Network Wisconsin, looking at some of the big stories in Wisconsin this week. And Rob, let's take a look at a project that you oversaw at USA Today Network Wisconsin. Your reporters there talked to 10 people in different areas of the state recovering from heroin addiction. What led you to pursue this angle specifically?
Sure. So we wanted to do something on the people, on the individuals who are, dealing with heroin addictions, and in particular who are in recovery. And I should say I was one of the project editors. I work with my colleague Mark Trinan, who is the leader of another team here, and there I think about a dozen people all told worked on this project, a number of reporters and so on. I believe it. The first genesis of it was with a reporter named Chris Miller, who wanted to speak to people who had experienced addiction about how they became addicted. Like, how does one fall into an opiate addiction? And it was from that germ of an idea that we created what turned out to be a much larger project, and one that I hope it shows the scope and the real human experience Yeah,
and there are a lot of common themes, but one thing I took from looking at these stories is you can look at the statistics, but the stories are all different for different people.
Right. Well, yeah, and this is just the thing, right? Anybody who's paying attention at all knows that opiate addiction is a real and widespread problem. The numbers on it can cause one's head to spin. And so once you start looking at the people as people, there are patterns. I mean, it is a common story. People who began their path toward an addiction by being prescribed pills, or getting their hands on some pills, and they eventually, because they became addicted, switching over to heroin because it was cheaper. So there are patterns that emerge, but it is true at the same time. Each story has its own textures and its own reality.
And all 10 people in this case working on recovery, I don't know that they'll ever feel fully recovered, but at least some hope that for people out there suffering with this kind of addiction now, there is a chance to change things down the road.
Yeah, that's right. And we hope to... the nature of the project, the individual profiles are relatively short. The visuals are extraordinary. There's audio from the interviews that really gives you a sense of the person. So what we hope to do is sort of continue to follow some of these stories. There are some people who are facing, potential prison time for crimes they've committed. There are some people who are a little bit farther along in their recovery, and there are some who are quite new. And so our hope is that we can continue to expand the stories and follow what happens to these people and hopefully track their recovery as well.
And Rob, ending on a lighter note, a quick look at a big Jeopardy run for someone from Wisconsin.
Yeah, this guy, so I didn't see it, but it sounds like this guy did Wisconsin proud. Gilbert Collins is a Milwaukee native. He's an administrator at Princeton University, and he won $84,201 in 5 days on Jeopardy, which is a pretty good run.
Gilbert, a graduate of the Rufus King High School in Milwaukee. Rob, we'll keep an eye out for more Wisconsin success stories around the country. Thanks for joining us.
Thank you.
That's Rob Metzer, statewide living and storytelling editor for USA Today Network Wisconsin. He got us up to speed on some of the latest state news.